Are we turning to Hebrews chapter 13 this morning and verse 8? And really we're going to focus on the particular verse, 13 verse 8 in Hebrews. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. And I want to say to you that at a time of great uncertainty, in a time of great change, here's the secret of Christian contentment. This coronavirus pandemic, well, it's changed so many things in society. And we're saddened to hear that the government wants to impose these restrictions upon churches in the UK again now for the next 4 Sundays. A changing society. And what announcement will come next? And looming on the horizon, Brexit is coming. And that is going to produce changes as well. And in the individual circumstances of our lives and in family life, all sorts of changes are occurring. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, declares the Word of God. It's an amazing statement. You take Jesus Christ out of that statement, who else could you put in there instead? Boris Johnson, the same. Doesn't work. Donald Trump, any world leader. There's no one else you could put in into this verse instead of Jesus Christ. We have one of the greatest affirmations imaginable here concerning the person of who Jesus Christ is. And as I say, it seems to me that this verse means we can know the secret of Christian contentment. We can have a peace, an inner peace, in this changing, uncertain world, through one person, Jesus Christ alone. And that's the argument of the epistle to the Hebrews. Let me just remind you that this letter is originally written to Hebrew Christians who were Jewish people who had previously practiced Judaism. And it would have been their custom to go up to the temple in Jerusalem, take part in sacrifices and offerings according to the Old Testament, and then something had happened to them. They'd heard the gospel, and they trusted in the Lord Jesus as their Messiah and Saviour and King. And they'd become Christians, they'd been converted. But then they began to suffer for their newfound faith. Some had lost their homes, some had been put out of their families, some of them had been imprisoned, some of them had been even persecuted more than imprisonment. This had been difficult for them, and they were being tempted to go back to a works-based religion. So the great argument of the writer here is, he says, you need someone reliable. Jesus Christ is greater than anyone who has ever appeared before. He's greater than the angels, he's greater than Moses, greater than Aaron, he's above all the priests of the Old Testament. Jesus the Messiah came into the world to offer to God a better sacrifice by his death on the cross, a better sacrifice than all the sacrifices of the Old Testament priesthood. He came to establish and confirm a better covenant, an eternal covenant by his own blood. So the Old Testament temple and priesthood were temporary, but Jesus Christ is the great everlasting high priest according to the order of Melchizedek by the will of God. So here's his argument. Jesus Christ is reliable, better and greater than anyone who's ever appeared before or since, higher and greater and more powerful than anyone. So we're given this brief statement, in a way summarizing what is being said in this letter to the Hebrews. These memorable words that give you this morning the secret of Christian contentment. Jesus Christ is the same. No one else. But Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And what I want to do this morning is open up this text with you as it concerns the person of Jesus Christ and his glory and the salvation that is found only in him. So here we have someone who's entirely different from anyone else in this whole world. The only person who can give you lasting contentment, peace, joy, acceptance before God this morning. Is there anyone? Is there anything which is unchanging, eternally the same? Well, nothing in this present life. You go back to the first book of the Bible, to the creation. God formed the universe and saw that it was very good. But what about now? How different the world is now. Pandemics and volcanoes and tsunamis and earthquakes and famines and wars. The world we live in now is a world of continuing change. And it will certainly be changed again at the end of the age, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to this world in glory. But concerning the Lord Jesus Christ himself, we are told, he is not subject to any change at all. Or take the great civilizations of the world. Civilizations that the Bible itself presents to us. One of the greatest civilizations we know anything about, early civilizations, Egypt. You're familiar probably with pictures of the pyramids and the Sphinx and the colossal statues of the pharaohs of Egypt. But where are they now? They're crumbling in the desert sands. Once Egypt was the greatest civilization, but it's changed. What about Greece or Rome? Don't we say that Greece was one of the greatest civilizations? But where is it now? And as for the Roman Empire, what did Edward Gibbon call his famous book? The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. Roman Empire's gone, it's changed. We're living in a changing world where civilizations and technologies and nations are changing from day to day. Ah, yes, says our writer, but there is someone who does not change. Can I remind you that even church congregations change? Where are the churches mentioned in the book of Revelation? Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Gone, if churches exist at all at or near those locations, they are now much smaller congregations. They've changed. The mighty church in Constantinople, Istanbul, in the days when John Chrysostom, with his golden-tongued eloquence, captivated thousands. There's a mosaic of Chrysostom in the Hagia Sophia in Istanbul. But even the status of the Hagia Sophia has recently been changed. So that it's now officially the Hagia Sophia Grand Mosque. It has changed. And we need to pray for Turkey and the people of Turkey. What about the Church of France at the time of the Huguenots? It said there was a time when the Huguenots, true Bible-believing Christians, made up a sizable percentage of the population of France. But what about today? Everything has changed. We've heard about those horrific terrorist incidents that have taken place in France this last week. Again, how we need to pray for France and the people of France. And what about the great churches of the UK? Many of them have gone. Theological liberalism and secular ideology have eroded the foundations. The UK has changed, become a godless, secular nation. Now, I know there are things that must be done in a pandemic, but I don't know if you noticed yesterday, football must carry on. Churches closed. That tells you a lot about our nation. What's the God of our nation? We are living in a changing world. Ah, says the writer. But I'll tell you one thing, unchanging. Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. If I can even further illustrate what I'm saying, we are changing. From day to day, we are changing. You visit an older couple, and as you're talking to them, you see a photograph on the wall. Some of you have visited our house, and there's a photograph there on the wall of a young couple with their young children. And you wonder, who is this happy couple? Who are those children? And I say to people, it's us. It's me. But I've changed. Wendy hasn't changed, but I've changed. I've changed. Quite a bit. So let's not deceive ourselves. We are living in a world of change. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Who is the only person who doesn't change? Only the person of our text, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing I'm bringing to you. Jesus Christ is the secret for Christian contentment. A good place to start is to notice one other place in the book of Hebrews where Jesus Christ is said to be the same. And that's in chapter 1, verse 8. It's very significant that that's the only other place where this is emphasized. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. But to the Son, but to Jesus, he, God, says, your throne, O God. Your throne, O God, Jesus, God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. And then if you go down a little to verse 10, and you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up and they will be changed. But you, Jesus, are the same. And your years will not fail. So you'll notice what the Hebrew writer does. He clearly calls the Lord Jesus Christ God. God says to his Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And then the writer ascribes to him the work of creation, creating the universe. The heavens are the work of your hands. And he draws out the implication then. This creation, which seems so stable and permanent, will in fact be changed. It will be changed like a garment. But Jesus is the same, and his years will not fail. So the sameness of the Lord Jesus Christ is the sameness that comes from being the eternal God, the Son of God. And as Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, the Lord Jesus Christ is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person and upholds all things by the word of his power. So the sameness of the Lord Jesus Christ is the sameness of God. His unchangingness is the unchangingness of God. The visible universe with its laws that scientists bank on so heavily to be unchanging is like a cloak that will be folded up compared to God. Just put on at creation, it'll be taken off when God is through with it. So what the world regards as the baseline of stability is not reliable. It's Jesus Christ who is unchanging. And why does the letter to Hebrews emphasize this? Well, because it raises the issue of what's called God's immutability, that God is not fickle, he doesn't change. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. 1 Samuel 15 verse 29, also the strength of Israel, God, will not lie or relent, for he is not a man that he should relent. Now you may ask me, aren't there texts in the Bible that seem to suggest that God changes his mind? And from a human perspective, yes, there are. In fact, one of them is right there in that chapter of 1 Samuel 15, which is why the text about God's immutability is so important. The Hebrew word for relent is the same as the word used in verse 11 and in verse 35. Verse 11, God says, I greatly regret that I've set up Saul as king. In verse 35, God says, and the Lord regretted that he'd made Saul king over Israel. Now, when the writer said that, he realized he'd written something and said something that was liable to be misunderstood. So he limits and clarifies what he said. And he does that by saying, for God is not a man that he should relent. In other words, though from a human perspective, it may look as if God has changed his mind, God is not ignorant of what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 1,000 years from now. He knows everything because he's sovereign. He's working out his sovereign purposes. In his eternal plan, God responds according to his own perfect wisdom and righteousness and goodness and power. He maintains his purposes in this world. What distinguishes God from human beings, the writer is saying, is that we change our mind. We can't see what's coming. But God, he has a plan and a purpose. He always knows what's coming. There's a changelessness in God that is not in human beings. So when Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today and forever, I want us to feel the full weight of the blessing this is for our lives if you put your trust in him. Jesus Christ, the same. It's a powerful incentive to live for Jesus Christ and to trust in him this morning. I want that truth to sink into your mind and heart and life with the power it should have. That in Jesus Christ we have the consistent character of love and wisdom and righteousness and power. He has perfect knowledge. He is the same in his perfect foreknowledge and plan. And in the perfect execution of his plan in all the universe and in all the details of your life. This glorious plan of God for all who put their trust in him, this glorious goal of transformation and Christ-likeness, and he's the Savior and Helper or of all who put their trust in him. So you can be content in the midst of a COVID-19 pandemic because you have this reliable Savior. Friends may fail you, but you have a reliable Savior. Foes may assail you. In other words, enemies may attack you. And how hurtful that can be. But you have a reliable Savior. You may be feeling weak, but you have a reliable Savior. You may be tempted, tried, failing, but you have a reliable Savior. You can be in the midst of great sorrow, but you have a reliable Savior. Your heart is breaking, but you have a reliable Savior. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, forever. There's a hymn that says, hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with you to the end. Jesus Christ is the secret of Christian contentment. The second thing I want to say is, Jesus Christ is always the secret of Christian contentment. Why does it matter that it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Why is it put like that? What's the significance of each time period? Yesterday. Well, it's crucial that Jesus Christ be the same yesterday as he is today, because yesterday is when Jesus Christ came into this world in real history to show us what God is like. We're talking about a real person of history. Yesterday, there was a time when Jesus Christ was born, came into this world, lived, died, rose again, ascended back to heaven. So today, it's crucial, Jesus Christ is the same today as he was yesterday, because today you can trust in him. Today you can experience his saving, keeping, loving power. Today and forever. It's crucial that Jesus be the same yesterday, today and forever, because all our hope for everlasting contentment, peace and joy lies ultimately on a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He alone is our only comfort in life and death. So as we think about those time frames, God has chosen that we know about Jesus Christ by reading of him in a book, the Bible. that records for us his life, his work, who he is and what he did, what he said from yesterday. God does not ordain that we know Jesus by skipping yesterday, as if you can substitute some made-up, self-promoting, mystical avenue of coming to God. No, the Christ of today must be the same as the Christ of the Bible. Is the Jesus Christ you're trusting in the Jesus of the Bible? Yesterday. Otherwise, you can't reliably know Jesus today. We know him, we commune with him, we trust in him, because we know him through the word of God and by the power of the Spirit of God. And what we know about him yesterday enables us to know him personally today. The Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ and makes them real and personal and present and powerful and precious in our lives now. Do you know the saving love of Jesus Christ? You see, we need forgiveness of all sin, past, present, and future. Yesterday, today, forever. You see why this is so important? That this historical, factual Jesus Christ, who we've come to know and love and trust in and cherish, he's the Jesus we'll increasingly know and enjoy forever, if he's the same forever. That forever is very important then. So if I can help you, if you are seeking the Lord at this time, I would say that Jesus Christ is the same in his compassion for men and women who are seeking him today. He has not changed. His promises are as sure today as they ever were. In his lifetime, Jesus said, "Come unto me," said Jesus. "Come to me, and I will give you rest." That word is as good this morning as it was the very hour when Jesus spoke those words during his earthly ministry. You can rely on them. Did Jesus say, "He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out"? Those words are reliable for you this morning. As reliable as when Jesus first uttered them. Jesus is a trustworthy Savior. He won't turn you away if you seek him. How many times in the Gospels do we read of men and women coming to Jesus Christ? A woman who dared to touch the hem of his garment and received that word of comfort, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Men who came trembling, asking for his help, and always were made whole. Never in the Gospels did someone come to Jesus with a sincere heart and Jesus would just send them away empty. And the same is true for you this morning. For every seeker after mercy and comfort and grace and forgiveness, the Lord Jesus Christ the same. He will be kind to the timid and meek and lowly in heart. You can be absolutely sure of it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And let me say the same in his love for his own people. In his very epistle to the Hebrews, we are told Jesus ever lives to make intercession for his people. It said, "By one sacrifice, he has perfected forever them that come to God by him." He is able to save to the uttermost. He doesn't need to offer the same sacrifice for sin over and over and over again. He's finished the work of salvation. From the cross, Jesus cried, "It is finished, accomplished, the work of salvation done, achieved." Jesus Christ, by his death, has finished all that needs to be done to give forgiveness and peace to his people. He's able to give you, as you trust in him, sufficient grace this morning. Grace for life and grace for death. Even in the last hour. For the Christian, there is a Savior who will not leave, not forsake his people. Will be their helper to the end. So there's endless comfort in this great truth of the Bible. You know, sometimes we are very afraid for tomorrow. Many a parent, many a grandparent has said something like this. Perhaps we've all said it. We've said, "What kind of world will our children grow up in? What kind of world will our grandchildren grow up in? And there are many, many things that we do not know. It's a changing world. You can hear the siren, can't you? Why is the siren blaring? It's blaring because we're in a changeable, uncertain world. But one thing we do know, when we think about what sort of world will our children, grandchildren grow up in, we can know this: it will be a world where Jesus Christ will still be Lord and King. Jesus Christ has not lost his power. He can touch the hearts of children and grandchildren as he's touched your heart as you've trusted in him. We must not be swallowed up by overmuch grief. Yes, we see disturbing trends in our society. But who knows? It may be that our grandchildren will see days rich with blessing. God can raise up preachers. We're praying for it here at the seminary. God will raise up preachers who will outstrip preachers like Whitfield and Wesley and Spurgeon and Lloyd-Jones. He can do things far above what we imagine or even think. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's an incident from the life of Martin Luther. Yesterday was Reformation Day. Well, there's an incident from Martin Luther which may help us. Luther was cast down on one occasion, and all his thoughts were gloomy. He thought that the church in Germany was headed for a time of big trouble and sorrow and misery. And that sadness gripped him for some days. And then one morning he got up out of bed, he went downstairs for his breakfast, and there was his wife dressed all in black. "My dear Katie," Luther said, "has someone died?" "Oh yes," she said, "someone has died." "Katie, who has died?" "Oh," she said, "you should know." "Katie, I don't know. Who has died? Who has died?" "It's God," she said. "God has died." And Luther saw the incongruity of his gloom and sadness, that he was leaving out of his mind and heart and life in his sadness any thought of who God is and what God can do. And Luther suddenly laughed. Katie had broken the bubble of Luther's fear. God was not dead. Let us not despair. If this text is true, and I believe in all my heart it is true, it's the very word of God, Jesus Christ will be the same in the future as he is today, as he's been in the past, the same Lord, the same Savior, the same sovereign ruler of the universe. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So Jesus is the secret of Christian contentment. Jesus is always the secret of Christian contentment. And thirdly, Jesus is the secret then of Christian contentment for your life and mine, for your life today. You look at the connection of verse 8 backwards, first of all. We start in Hebrews chapter 13 and... I can't find where I am. Hebrews 13, start at verse 5. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." It's a staggering call for joyful simplicity and radical generosity in the Christian life. Beware of the materialism of our society. It can destroy you. But there's motivation then for that exhortation with a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ. "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" In other words, if you have that joyful, rock-solid confidence that the Lord of the universe, the Savior of your soul, will never leave you, will always be your helper, then the result will be profound contentment. The writer says then in verse 7, in this radical, counter-cultural way of life, "Remember and imitate leaders who live by that faith in the promises of God. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow considering the outcome of their conduct. But even the best Christian leaders change. Yes, imitate their faith in the promises of God, but then he adds, Jesus Christ, he's the same. No one else. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. So the connection back is clear. If the Lord Jesus Christ could be trusted to be the helper of those who refused to put all their trust in money, and were content to live with what they had, and he could be trusted today and forever by every generation of believers, under all circumstances, even in a pandemic, his love is the same. His righteousness is the same. His wisdom is the same. His power is the same. He's not bounded by the limitations of human beings. He's never surprised by circumstances. Trust in him. Set your face like a flint against the messages of gloom and doom. Because you confidently say, the Lord is my helper. He will never leave me. He is enough. And he's always the same. And then you consider the connection of verse 8 forward. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Verse 9 goes on, do not be carried away then by various and strange doctrines. What a gift it is that the Bible clearly warns us and helps us. It warns us and helps us. The solution to heresy. What was once true about Jesus Christ will always be true about Jesus Christ. You don't need some strange newfangled doctrine of the televangelist. What was once true about the Lord Jesus Christ will always be satisfying about the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need strange, weird ideas to find the way to contentment and lasting joy and eternal life. Jesus Christ, the same truth, the same treasure. So receive him, trust him, believe on him. Be set free from the bondage of sin and hopelessness. He saves from death, destruction and despair. So what a privilege it is to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. To preach him in this spiritually bankrupt, hopeless, helpless, credulous society. There's this one, this only one, this unique one, this Son of God, this Savior of the world, who reigns in glory, the one who's coming to set up his glorious kingdom, King of kings and Lord of lords. There'll be a new heavens, and there'll be a new earth where righteousness will dwell. So it's a great privilege to be a herald of this glorious person, Jesus Christ. And we can tell people everywhere, in every country in the world, one certainty in a changing and collapsing world. Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. So trust him. Trust him as your Lord and Savior and King. And you will find rest and forgiveness and peace and contentment and hope in this world and in the world to come. It's a great message. A great message at this time of great uncertainty. We have a great Savior. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning for this sure hope in our uncertain, collapsing society. A Savior, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Utterly reliable. Were we to search the whole world, we would not find one Christian anywhere who has been let down by this Saviour. No. Faithful to the end. Lord, we confess our sin before you. We need forgiveness. We thank you for this precious Saviour from sin. Jesus Christ, our righteousness, our hope, our peace, our comfort, our helper. Hear us this morning as we come. Pray for those who have never trusted in him before, even today, that there will be those who will call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And for us, Lord, give us this solid, reliable hope in this changing, ever-changing world, that we can know Christian contentment deep within the soul. Even help us for Christ's sake. Amen. I've quoted already a little from this hymn. It's a hymn that I've discovered in the last few weeks. Not a hymn that has been particularly well known in the UK, I don't think, but is very well known in the United States of America. It's a well-known tune. It's a Welsh tune, actually. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. But we'll stay sitting. Inwardly, we'll be singing along. And it reminds us of the greatness of this person we've been thinking about.
Yeah.
Let's pray together. Now to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to the only wise God, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, be glory, majesty, honour, power, might and dominion, both now and for evermore. Amen.